It is a wonderful thing to be here together as friends to celebrate our God in worship, to be a part of a worldwide gathering of believers that share this common faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and that He lived, He died, and He rose triumphant over the grave and now sits at the Father's right hand, where He is preparing a place of eternal delight and joy for His followers when one day He returns to take us home. Thank you so much for being a part of the family of God and being here in our assembly together this morning. So today we are continuing to explore this series that we're calling Mind Reset. And today, in part number 4, we're going to see the importance of making sure that you and I think on the right things. We'll be looking in just a moment at Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It is so vitally important that you and I exercise control over our thoughts. If you have a negative state of mind, do you realize how quickly you can get sucked into the vortex and the cycle of negative thinking, and it will pollute everything about your life? It is so easy, it's so deceptive, it is such a quick slide into getting into a place in your life where you're in a cycle of negative thoughts. And if you're in a cycle of negative thoughts, it will reinforce negative emotions in you, which in turn produce negative actions in your life, which then result in a distorted, pessimistic, negative view of the world around you. You can real easily get into that cycle. Oh, an illustration of that, there was an avid duck hunter who loved to go duck hunting, and he was in the market for buying a new hunting dog that would retrieve those ducks when he shot them out of the air. And so he found this new dog that he wanted to purchase, and this dog was extraordinary. It was like no other dog he'd ever seen, because this dog had the power to walk on water to retrieve those ducks. Now, he was shocked whenever he was able to find this dog that could do this, and he couldn't wait to show his friends, but he knew that none of his friends would believe that he had a dog that could walk on water. So he took one of his friends. This friend, by the way, was pessimistic by nature. He took this pessimistic friend to go hunting with him one day, and they took the dog, and they waited on the shore early in the morning until the ducks started flying. And sure enough, he shot one of those ducks. As the flock of ducks flew over, he fired, and the duck fell, and the dog responded immediately by jumping on the surface of the water, skidding across the top of the water to retrieve the duck, bringing it back to the duck blind. Time and again, this happened. When the pessimistic friend, he watched everything, but he never said a word. Every time he would shoot a duck, that duck would fall, and sure enough, the dog would jump on top of the water, run across the surface of the water, and retrieve the duck. But the pessimist friend never said a single word. But on the drive home, after a long day of hunting, the hunter asked his friend, "Did you notice anything unusual about my new dog?" To which the friend responded, "I sure did. Your dog can't swim." Now, you know, there's just some of us that if we're not careful, we get in that kind of frame of thinking where it's like all we ever see is the negative. There can be miraculous things happening around us, amazing things that are taking place in our world, but we've gotten in such a mind frame of thinking that all we see is things to be critical about. All we see are the negative, the things that aren't going right around us. And so as we continue to explore what Paul is talking about here in Philippians 4, he is encouraging us to consider what our mindset is. And in fact, if we're going to be the kind of people God wants us to be, we might at times need to do some heavy introspection and do a mind reset and renew our outlooks toward life. And we've been seeing that so far in Philippians 4. And again, he explores another component of the kind of mind reset that you and I may need to do, and it has everything to do with thinking on the right kind of things. Look at Philippians 4 with me. We're going to pull it up on the screen here. Chapter 4, we're going to begin at verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, he continues along this frame of thought where he is clearly very affectionate toward this group of believers. This is a letter of friendship. He has a deep affinity for these believers, and he addresses them so warmly. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Now look at what the result's going to be, verse 10. If you think on those kinds of things, or verse 9 rather, whatever you have learned, whatever you have received or heard in me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We saw at the outset of this series of lessons the context of what's happening in this church called at Philippi. There is conflict that's taking place among this gathering of believers. We saw it back in chapter 4 and verse 2 whenever he urges these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, that somehow have some kind of conflict, disagreement between them, to be at peace and to have the same mind. It's that is the verse that's framing this entire series of lessons and the rest of these verses that follow verse 2. To have the same mind for one another. Now, what kind of conflict were they having? Part of the conflict is revealed to us back in chapter 4, or back in chapter 2, rather, in verse 14. Whenever Paul says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. It seems that there was not only conflict, that there was this general sense of negativity, grumbling, complaining that had descended down on this church. And Paul is urging them to have the same mindset. And in order to have the same mindset, that means some of us may have to change our thinking. If we're to be united in cause, united in purpose, united in love, united in faith, to have the same mind one to another, some of us may have to have some changes in the way we think. Well, they needed peace as a church. They desperately needed it. And the only way that peace can come is that sometimes we have to protect our thoughts. We have to control our thinking. We have to monitor what goes on between our two ears. Now, once again, he's addressing them as friends, and he's calling upon them to reset the way they think, to give their minds over to something. He says, think on. Some translations say, meditate on, dwell on these things. What things? Things that are noble. Things that are good. Things that are right and true and pure and beautiful. Dwell on those things. You know, if you're not vigilant over your thoughts, and I can tell you this from personal experience, if you're not vigilant over your thinking, your thoughts will quickly descend into places that they ought not be. If you don't make yourself have noble thoughts, you can easily slip into a negative cycle of bad thinking, and it will pollute everything else in your life. The motivational speaker of years ago, Zig Ziglar, loved to say, we all need a checkup from the neck up, a daily checkup from the neck up, to avoid what he called stinking thinking, which ultimately leads to hardening of the attitudes. You know, it can be real easy for you and I to become very hardened in our attitudes toward each other. Well, how do you get there? How do you get to a place where you have a hardening of an attitude toward other Christians? If you're not doing a daily checkup from the neck up to avoid stinking thinking, Ziglar says. It's easy to get in that place of just having stinking thinking. You see, the thought life of the Christian is essential to everything else. And so we must protect our thought lives. In fact, everything he said in these verses and what he will say following really is centers around thinking the right kind of thoughts. In fact, the right kind of thoughts are essential to developing and maintaining healthy relationships with other Christians. That's what he's talking about back in verses 2 and 3. It is your thought life that is essential and integral to having a life of joyfulness. Verse number 4. It is vital to have the right kind of thinking if you're going to have a life of peace rather than anxiety, like we talked about last week in verses 6 and 7. And we'll see in verses 10 through 12, if you want a life of contentment, you got to learn to control your thoughts. Well, there's all kinds of strategies for doing that the world will tell us. Here's how you control your thoughts. Here's how you bring about a life of inner peace. I mean, who among us doesn't want inner peace? In a world full of stress, there are all kinds of self-help techniques out there available today that people propose is the key, the secret to having a stress-free life and to achieving inner peace. Some say, well, if you're feeling stressed out, if you're feeling anxious and worried in your life, maybe you just need to take some time off from work, and maybe that could be true. Maybe you need a better balance between work and leisure time. Maybe you need to start blocking all those negative thoughts. Maybe you need to exercise more and get your stress out. Or maybe you need to practice some yoga and some relaxation breathing techniques. Several years ago, there was a major movement called the Power of Positive Thinking movement, and it still exercises tremendous influence even today among Christians. The movement basically said you can create your own peace by having a positive mental attitude, by simply injecting into your life in a disciplined way a conversation with yourself, where you're talking to yourself using positive language. According to this view, what you need to be able to have peace, inner peace in your life, is you just need to have the faith, enough faith in yourself, believe in yourself already, and visualize yourself in a situation where you're successful, and dwell on those positive thoughts, the power of positive thinking. And by thinking positively, you can create your own reality of a positive reality in your life. Now, I'll be the first to say that there's no doubt some wisdom and some grain of truth in that manner of thinking. But what I want you to see here from what Paul is saying by inspiration is he's talking about something much greater than that. You see, this passage is not talking about some kind of self-imposed, personality-manipulating peace that you just somehow conjure up on yourself. More than just having peace, he's talking about having the presence of the God of peace. And that is much, much greater. Now, he does talk about, as we saw last week, that we can have the peace of God that transcends all understanding, verse number 7. And he talks about the pathway to that kind of peace is having a dynamic life of prayer where you don't just ruminate on your anxieties and worries and talk to yourself about your troubles, but instead of talking to yourself, you start talking to God with a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude, making your specific request made known to Him, and He will gift you with peace. Well, we all want that. But now he kicks it up a notch. More than just having a gift of peace from God, what we need, as we see in verse number 9, is that if we put into practice the things he's talking about here with thinking the right kind of thoughts in verse number 8, we put it into practice, we do these things, we learn these things and implement them. Notice the last sentence of verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, we all want peace. We want that inner peace. But even more than that, what you and I need is not just Him to give us peace. We need Him, the God of peace. and to encounter His presence and to know that He is with us. Modern books that you can find in the bookstore will tell you all the time how to deal with your stress and anxiety in life. And they'll tell you all these different kinds of approaches and strategies, but there's not a single book out there that I'm aware of that will say, you know, if you really want to deal with the stress of your life, what you need to do is think about the big questions of life. Think about, where did I come from and where am I going and what is the meaning and purpose of my life? You see, for many people, to think about such questions would stress them out. You see, what the world says is, if you want peace, if you want tranquility and calmness, you need to empty your mind of all the big questions. Empty your mind and don't think too much, but instead just retreat to a place where you can come to peace with not thinking too hard about anything. When Christianity, in fact, says that that couldn't be further from the truth. If you really want peace, the answer is not to empty your mind of the most important questions, but to fill your mind with the most important questions. To get peace, instead of not thinking hard, we should be thinking hard about the things that really matter in life and coming to God for the answers to those questions. You see, Paul says that the God of peace comes to us when we consider, it seems to me, two major things: God's beauty and God's truth. Notice the list of things he says we should dwell on. Things that are honorable, things that are right, things that are pure. Those first three are focusing in on the truthfulness of who God is and what God's trying to do in your life. But then notice the last on the list. Things that are lovely and good and virtuous and praiseworthy. These are the things that are the beauty of who God is. And the beauty of what God is doing in your life and the lives of others and what we see Him doing in our world. Fill your mind with these thoughts, with the beauty and the truth of God. Instead of emptying your mind to try to find peace, the key is to fill your mind, meditate, dwell on these kinds of thoughts. Now let me give you an exercise to show you how true and real that this is. We're going to do a little exercise together. You ready? So here's what I want you to do. For the next few moments, I want you to work really hard to control your thoughts. Whatever you do, do not think about snakes. No matter what I say, do not think about snakes. I repeat, don't think about them. Don't think about those big slimy snakes that come up through your bathtub drain in the night and slither into your bed beside you while you're sleeping. Now, hear me now. Do not, whatever you do, don't think about snakes. Now, have I helped you to not think about snakes? Actually, by talking about them, I have actually encouraged you to think about them. But now I want to do something else. For the next few moments, I want you to envision your favorite dessert. I want you to think about what that favorite dessert is. Maybe it's Mama's hot, fresh apple pie that came straight out of the oven. You put that piece of apple pie on a plate and you put some of that ready whip right on top. And you enjoy that apple pie. Maybe for you, your favorite dessert is not apple pie, but instead are those fresh baked hot chocolate chip cookies. Or maybe you like fudge ice cream. Or maybe you love the fact that, even though we had one when I first moved here, and I don't know what happened to it, now we've got a Dairy Queen again. And maybe you go through Dairy Queen and you get that Butterfinger Blizzard. And you think, man, that is just the best dessert. Man, just think about your mouth watering at this tasty treat. Now, what has happened in the last few moments? You totally forgot about those snakes, didn't you? Until I mentioned them again, now you're thinking about the snakes again. Now, what am I trying to illustrate by this exercise? Our minds are not just vacuums. Our minds will be filled with something. And so the way to deal with impure thoughts, unholy thoughts, negative thoughts, is not just to say, I won't have them, Because usually by thinking about not having them, you'll continue to think about the snakes. But instead, the answer is to fill your mind with other kinds of thoughts, to push the negative thoughts out. Start thinking about the desserts, the hot apple pie and the Butterfinger blizzard. So you see, we must not fill our minds with ungodly thinking, with negative thoughts, with impure things, with just mundane things that don't really make any difference in life, with humanistic thoughts as if somehow I can control my life myself. But instead, I need to choose to fill my mind with what he says here, things that are honorable and right and pure and lovely and good and virtuous and praiseworthy. Think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Fill your thoughts with who He is, with His beauty and truth, and you create an environment that welcomes the presence of God dwelling in your life. And He will bring the essence of who He is with Him. Peace. The God of peace will be with you. It's just true. I don't have to tell you this. You already know it. But we don't always think about it. If you focus on negative things all the time, you will be a negative person. But if your mind is filled with the true and beautiful things of God, you'll be an entirely different kind of person. A person where God is the center and where His peace dwells. So I challenge you and me to maybe do a mind reset. Maybe you need it. I know I do. And I'm working hard on it. I hope you'll work hard on it too. To rethink, to readjust your outlook toward life. To fill your mind with thoughts that center on the beauty and the truth of Christ. Because if you center on the beauty and the truth of Christ, instead of becoming a negative person because you're filled with negative thoughts, fill your mind with the beauty and truth of Christ and you'll become like Him. Because what you fill your mind with is your choice. So I encourage myself and I encourage you, choose to think on right things. This morning, the best thing that you could focus your heart and your life on is the beauty and the truth of what Jesus did for you. This morning, the truth is that Jesus died because He loves you so much, He was willing to forego all of the rights and the privileges of heaven to come down to this earth, the Creator give His life for His creation, so that you might know the beauty and the joyfulness of forever relationship with Him. And so this morning I encourage you to center your mind on the truth and the beauty of what Jesus did for you. But more than just think on it, will you not act on it? If you've never come to Christ, won't you come to Him today in repentance and baptism, believing and confessing Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life? Or perhaps today you just need a mind reset. And maybe you need to leave here today with your mind made up to start thinking differently. If you are prone to being a negative person that has filled your mind with negative, pessimistic thoughts, draw the line in the sand today. And do not leave the assembly today without making a determined decision in your life to respond to the message of the Holy Spirit. Do not quench His message today, but instead fan it into flame and say, from this day forward, I will readjust my thinking and fill my mind with the truth and beauty of who God is and invite the God of peace into my life. Maybe today is the day that you make a real significant change. Maybe today is the turning point in your life. Or you can just leave here today and do nothing with this message. And just keep being a negative, sour, pessimistic, person. I don't want that for your life. And God doesn't either. That's no way to live. Will you not come and embrace the abundant life that Jesus has in store for you? Will you not invite a God, the God of peace, into your life? It starts by changing your thinking. And maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe you need prayers of encouragement toward that end. We'd love to pray with you collectively. Or maybe you got something on your heart you need to share with your shepherds, the shepherds of this flock, who will be meeting privately in the library with anybody that would like to meet. If we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.